Camille Saint-Saëns was wrecked with pains when people addressed him as Saint Saëns. He held the human race to blame because it could not pronounce his name.
You are listening to the voice of Noel Coward reciting new verses by Ogden Nash, written for Camille Saint-Saëns' delightful Carnival of the Animals. This is Fleetwood. Every Sunday afternoon at this time, WNBC, in cooperation with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA at 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, brings you Anthology, a selection of readings from poets past and present, and the music to accompany their poetry. This afternoon, murder from the past, merriment from the present. March 15th. In the days of the glory of the Roman Empire, March 15th was known as the Ides of March. There were also the Ides of April, July, and October. These months, however, never attained the notoriety of March because, as history relates, and William Shakespeare dramatized most poetically, the Ides of March were marked by murder, an assassination not only premeditated, but predicted.
Be still. Who is it in the press that calls on me?
Mark Antony. Caesar, my lord.
Caesar!
Huh? Who called?
Speak! Caesar is turned to hear.
Beware the Ides of March.
What man is that?
A soothsayer bids you beware the Ides of March.
Let him before me. Let me see his face.
Come from the throng!
And so, the prediction. A prediction which came true within the very walls of the Senate upon the Ides of March. Here is that scene from the tragedy of Julius Caesar as played by Orson Welles and the members of the Mercury Theater. The production was presented on Broadway in 1937 and acclaimed by critics and theatergoers unanimously as an outstanding achievement. On this recording, Julius Caesar is portrayed by Joseph Holland, Mark Antony, George Colouris, Cassius, Martin Gable, Casca, Hiram Sherman, and Orson Welles is heard as Brutus. The scene, the Senate in Rome.
Peace, count the clock.
It's time to part.
Shall no man else be touched but only Caesar?
Be just well urged. I think it is not meet Mark Antony, so well beloved of Caesar, should outlive Caesar.
Our course will seem too bloody, Caius Cassius. To cut the head off and then hack the limbs. For Antony is but a limb of Caesar. Let us be sacrificers, but not butchers, Caius. We all stand up against the spirit of Caesar, and in the spirit of men, there is no blood. Oh, that we could come by Caesar's spirit and not dismember Caesar, but alas, Caesar must bleed for it. And gentle friends, let's kill him boldly, but not wrathfully. Let's carve him as a dish fit for the gods, not hew him as a carcass fit for hounds.
The morning comes upon us. We leave you, Brutus.
Give me our hands all over. One by one.
And let us swear our resolution.
No, not an oath. If not the face of men, the sufferance of our souls, the time's abuse,
If these be motives weak, break off betimes and every man hence to his idle bed. So let high-sighted tyranny range on till each man drop by lottery. But if these, as I'm sure they do, bear fire enough to kindle cowards and to steal with valor the melting spirits of women, then, countrymen, what need we any spur but our own cause to prick us to redress? What other bond than secret Romans that have spoke the word and will not falter? And what other oath than honesty? To honesty engaged. But this shall be, for we will fall for it.
The Ides of March are come.
Tasker, be sudden. We fear for vengeance.
Beat hands for me!
Et tu, Brute? Then fall, Caesar. Liberty.
Freedom!
Run hence, proclaim, crying about the street.
Peace! Freedom!
Those are the prophet Judas, Cassius, too.
Freedom! Liberty!
How many ages hence shall this our lofty scene be acted over? In state unborn and accents yet unknown, how many times shall Caesar bleed in sport that now on Pompey's basis lies alone, no worthier than the dust?
So oft as that shall be, so often shall the none of us be called the men that gave their country liberty.
What shall we want?
Aye, every man away. Brutus shall lead.
Here comes Mark Antony.
Welcome, Mark Antony.
Beware the Ides of March. May we take a moment to remind you of another date, March 21st, next Sunday afternoon, when our guest on Anthology will be Mr. John Malcolm Brennan, director of the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA. Mr. Brennan has promised to tell us of some of the gala goings-on which will commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Y, to be held during the week of March 21st. We've also asked him for a few informal backstage views of many of the famous poets and poetesses who've appeared at the Teresa L. Kaufman Auditorium. On records, as promised, we'll have Lady Edith Sitwell reading her own poems, Facade, to the music of William Walton. We come now to the feature page of this afternoon's edition of Anthology, excerpts from Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals. In the Columbia LP version, André Castellanets and his orchestra give this enchanting work one of their most incisive and brilliant readings. The soloists with Mr. Castellanets are Leonard Hambro and Yasha Zaidi, pianists, and Frank Miller, cellist. Of equal enchantment are the verses which Ogden Nash was commissioned to write for this recorded performance. And, as the pièce de résistance, you couldn't find a more perfect personality to interpret these novel and hilarious epigrams than that of England's Noel Coward. Hear, then, the result. To our ears, a bewitching experience, and one by which we feel Saint-Saëns himself would have been entranced.
In the world of mules, there are no rules.
Thank you.
Cuckoos lead bohemian lives. They fail as husbands and as wives. Therefore, they cynically disparage everybody else's marriage. Latin and Wagner Teutonic, and birds are incurably philharmonic. Suburban yards and rural vistas are filled with avian Andrew sisters. The skylark sings a roundelay, the crow sings the road to Mandalay, the nightingale sings a lullaby, and the seagull sings a gullaby. That's what shepherds listen to in Arcadia, before somebody invented the radio. Claim that pianists are human, and quote the case of Mr. Truman. Saint-Saëns, upon the other hand, considered them a scurvy band. Ape-like they are, he said, and simian, instead of normal men and women. At midnight, in the museum hall, the fossils gathered for a ball. There were no drums or saxophones, but just the clatter of their bones. A rolling, rattling, carefree circus of mammoth polkas and mazurkas. Pterodactyls and brontosauruses sang ghostly prehistoric choruses. Amid the mastodonic wassail, I caught the eye of one small fossil. Cheer up, sad world, he said, and winked. It's kind of fun to be extinct. Sitting down, for pure conceit he takes the crown. He looks in the mirror over and over and claims to have never heard of Pavlova. Now we reach the grand finale. Animale Carnivale. Noises new to sea and land issue from the skillful band. All the strings contort their features, imitating crawly creatures. All the brasses look like mumps from blowing umpa, umpa, umps. In outdoing Barnum and Bailey and Ringling, Saint-Saëns has done a miraculous thingling.
Come to the end of another edition of Anthology. Next week, John Malcolm Brennan, director of the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA, and Dr. Edith Sitwell's Facade, recorded by the famous poetess to the music of William Walton. Anthology comes to you with the cooperation of the Poetry Center, Lexington Avenue and 92nd Street in Manhattan. The program is produced by Steve White, written and directed by Draper Lewis for WNBC. Until next Sunday at 3, this is Fleetwood saying goodbye and good readings.